Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. It is Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. I sort of lose track at this time of year, but I'm in Phoenix. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune, sports editor Jay Posner with me. Jay, going to be a beautiful weekend here. It's a big weekend for the Padres, and it's April, and it's a big weekend for the Padres. We'll talk about that later. They're coming off yet another series win in San Francisco. Manny Machado comes up big. Let's talk about that later, too, because that's what superstars do, is they win a game, like, not single-handedly, but they lift a team from time to time. Nick Margavichus last night makes his third start, gets his first win. Tonight, Pedro Avila on the bump. I just said on the bump.
Oh, no, you did not just say on the bump.
I know. I don't get to say it very much, and I hate it when people do, so that's why I did it. And Pedro Avila making his Major League debut. The Padres, the only team with two starting pitchers making Major League debuts. They now will be the only team with three starting pitchers having made their Major League debut in 2019. Jay Posner, where do you want to start?
Well, is this a revenge series, Kevin? This is the one team that the Padres did not beat in a series so far this year. Played them here a week ago and got beat the first two games, salvaged the third game. And other than that, the Padres have just been rolling against the rest of their schedule, which, of course, is just the Giants and the Cardinals. But now four games in Arizona, need a split to have a winning road trip. Need to win one game to have a 500 road trip, which would almost feel like a disappointment right now, the way that it started. You might have taken that at the beginning. Like I said, even a split here, 6-4, would be something relatively unusual for what we've seen in the past. But I think we should start with Pedro Avila, and you should tell me and other people who aren't terribly familiar with Pedro what we can expect tonight when he goes out there against the Diamondbacks.
I wish I could tell you what to expect in terms of results. What I'll tell you is that against a absolutely awful in terms of the major league talent that was on there, because there was virtually none, but he faced the Angels in the Cactus League game and filling in for Jacob Nix. And his curveball was magnificent, especially when he, you know, was not being afraid, as some young guys are. It was. Now, he wasn't facing the same lineup that, say, Chris Paddock had faced a few nights earlier that made us all so excited, right?
Right.
We were like, wow, he's going against Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Cole Calhoun. He's doing a really good job. Look, Pedro Avila, you know, did what he did. I think he gave up two runs in one inning because he was throwing balls. And anyway, he's up. It's a fill-in start. I would say that he would have to do, like, be Nick Margavichus or better to get another start, because the Padres have off days coming up. They're going to allow them to manipulate their starting rotation. But he's filling in so that they can push Chris Paddock and Matt Strom back a day and keep these guys healthy. We've been over that a lot and how they'll do that. Paddock will go tomorrow, Strom on Saturday. You know, I think here's what you can say. Whereas in the past, you're like, oh, boy, all right. And you know the players were kind of like that, too.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, man. You know, first of all, we're not a very good offense. And tonight we got to score seven runs because we got this rookie on the mound. Well, they've had pretty good luck so far with their rookies, including a guy, Nick Margavichus, who all of us didn't think very much of before the middle of February.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We've talked a lot, and fans have talked about, and it's always talked about, the prospect rankings. You know, the top 30 prospects, the top 100 guys across baseball. I don't remember seeing Margavichus's name on there too often. And now he's come up and thrown three great starts. And again, maybe in the long run it means nothing, but he hasn't shown any signs that it won't mean something. You know, he's very poised, and he just seems like he belongs out there. At this point, and you know, in April of this season, he looks like he belongs. Is kind of the best thing that I think he can say. And his results show that he belongs. And it's like, I can't wait to see him pitch next, which I guess will be against Colorado.
A right-handed lineup, I should say this, right? Like, if we're just going to keep talking about challenge this guy is going to have, it's going to be facing a predominantly right-handed Rockies lineup. I know they haven't started great, but that's a fair bunch there. He faced the Giants. Look, the Giants stink.
Right.
But that's veteran hitters that he faced twice in a week, right? Or twice in a little more than a week. And he got him. He was better the second time.
Yeah, I mean, Lauer and Lucchesi have more experience than he does, And they were both facing the Giants for the, well, second time this year, and certainly more from a year ago. And neither one of them fared very well, and Margavich just did. And, you know, for them to win a 2-1 game or 3-1 game when they start a pitcher like that with no experience has got to be a good sign. And you know, they've got to feel good about that situation. And again, he pitched great, and then he got help from the guy that you want to come through in games like that and win games for you. As you mentioned earlier, Manny Machado makes great defensive plays, hits a home run. I mean, that's what you're looking for. That's what $300 million is supposed to buy you, is games like that where, you know, you talk about war and everything in terms of stats. That's a game where Manny Machado, to me, I don't know how war works, and I know this is simplifying it, but that's a one war for Manny Machado yesterday, because, you know, along with Margavich and the bullpen, he won that game for them yesterday on both sides, you know, offense and defense.
Absolutely, and I think it goes underappreciated sometimes, certainly. You know, he's here for his, 340 on base percentage, let's say, where it will settle, his 270 batting average, his 32 home runs. He's here for that. He's here for games like that where you're facing a guy, Derek Rodriguez, pretty good pitcher so far in his career, and he was pitching really well yesterday. And I think last 2 days, the umpires, man, those Giants pitchers were hitting their spots, and the umpires were rewarding them for it. and Manny Machado won the game. 1-for-4. He'd been 0-for-3. He won the game for him with a big hit. That's what a superstar does. And then, of course, plays in the field, which he's making every day, and yesterday was fantastic. The pitching, see, now here's the deal. You mentioned the bullpen. It has been largely phenomenal. Now, Kirby Yates has pitched 7 times. Craig Stammen's pitched 7 times. Trey Wingenter, 6. This can't continue. Wingenter's in his second season. Stammen and Yates can't throw 90 times this year. So they need more 6- and 7-inning outings. And here's the problem. Pedro Avila, you get 6 or 7 from him tonight, you're blown away.
Oh, man, guys, the management and Andy Green might do cartwheels if you got 7 innings out of this guy.
Andy passes out
in
the dugout.
Before he can even do a cartwheel. No, you're right. And then the guys the next couple nights are the guys that are on innings limits.
So that is why, at the top, I alluded to this being a big series. Big, yeah, the Padres believe that wins in April are going to matter now, so that's big, right? You're facing a division foe. That's big, right? I'm not saying that come Monday, after this series, after they see what Paddock, Strom do, and gosh, are these guys going to get us? You know, are they going to be capable of getting us 6 strong? That the management overreacts and signs Dallas Keuchel or makes some trade, but I'll tell you that I think they'll be closer to it.
Right, and it's a good test for these guys, too. I mean, Arizona's got a good lineup. Of course, Zach Greinke is their team OPS leader if you don't do any minimum at-bats after his 2-home-run game here a week ago. Excuse me, but their true, you know, OPS leader is Adam Jones. He has 4 home runs. His OPS is over 1,000. Christian Walker, Ketel Marte, those guys have 3 home runs. Peralta's hitting. Even Nick Ahmed, who's not normally known for his hitting, has been hitting. This is a good lineup. They put 15 on the board the other day against the Red Sox. So it's a good test for all the pitchers that are going this weekend, especially in that environment. You know, I don't think it's supposed to be terribly hot there, except for maybe Sunday it'll be warm, but you figure the roof will probably be open. I just think it's again, each of these series are different tests, and this is another one for this staff. And as you said, it's important as well if management's looking and deciding, okay, what are we going to do? Do we need to go get somebody else? Are we going to keep shuttling back and forth with, you know, El Paso or San Antonio? How is this all going? Not San Antonio, Amarillo, but old habits, right? But so anyway, it's just more interesting. We always seem to be coming back to that.
You look down and you go, and I think maybe Cal Quantrill goes tonight again. I can't remember which one of them went first, but Logan Allen and Cal Quantrill, remember, were competing for the final spot in the rotation. Well, they both got lit up, really, in their first AAA starts. That's why Pedro Avila's here, okay?
Right,
now,
right.
Now, the Padres, of course, this is what's funny is, you know, we're all second-guessing or trying to figure out. They're 8 steps ahead of us, okay? Because Pedro Avila, they didn't start him that time in Cactus League because they thought they'd bring him up. But once they said, hey, we have to start him, they knew, you know what, this won't be bad because the way we're going to do our pitching staff this year, Pedro Avila is probably going to have to throw for us.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, they're ready to do this rotation. I don't know that they were like, huh, we're going to be 8-5. And the way we're going to be 8-5 is going to have proved to us that we might be a pretty decent team. There's a lot of evaluation going on right now.
Right, and you have, and they have to be careful not to overreact, because I don't think, you know, this group has a plan, and so far we've seen the plan start to pay off this year. This is not the year that they're expecting the plan to really pay off. I mean, that's still another, you know, year, 2-3 years down the road where you're thinking that all these guys are going to be on the roster that we've heard so much about. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to waste a chance that you might have. You know, look what Washington did when they shut down Strasburg that year. And it's like, oh, well, we'll have all these chances. And, well, how many chances have they had? So I don't think the Padres want to go crazy and deviating from their plan. But if there's a way to add another pitcher, like we've talked about before, without messing up that plan, then I'm sure they're looking at it already.
This weekend, test another way. How about this? The heavy, heavy, and even getting heavier right-handed lineup of the Padres faces all righties.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and they haven't put up a lot of offense for the most part.
For the most part, but
they've done it later.
But
yeah, they've done it later in games. But yep. As you wrote the other day, they have not done a lot early in games, and yesterday was another example of that with basically just one early run. So it would be good for the lineup to get going earlier in games and to see what happens with all these righties. I mean, that means Hosmer bats higher in the lineup, but I still don't know, you know, they still got to figure out something with the leadoff. Nothing's worked so well in the leadoff spot. Although Margot had what, one hit yesterday?
He did. And then of course, Ian Kinsler gets on base twice, batting seventh. Mm-hmm. I want to point out that Tatis has done much of his damage against lefties. So, you know, we'll, Renfro, who I think deserves his due. I don't know that we have time today, but Hunter Renfro in virtually every facet, maybe not defensively, but his, I think he deserves his due. He's been hitting both sides, but righties really well. So, Andy Green says that he's comfortable with it. There are other people within the organization that are, what are we going to do here? Because this is a little troubling. The feeling is that Cordero might be out for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. If you're going to be missing Cordero and Jankowski for a long time, then maybe you've got to look at something. Because you can't just, you can say guys hit reverse splits and all that. But, sooner or later, I think that's going to catch up to them. And it's true with some guys.
If reverse splits, you'd have to dig down deeper, too. Because, like, take poor Greg Garcia, right? When is he batting? He's batting against the guy throwing 98 at the
right,
end of the game.
Right.
Okay? And that is, so we're reverse splits, but wait a minute, what about when your guy comes up against that righty, the closer, in the ninth inning? How are his reverse splits then? And so, you need to be a both-handed, and they're a little bit hamstrung right now. Hey, this is awesome, Jay. Once again, a podcast where we started digging down into, well, what does this mean? And how can the Padres get better? And how might they be in trouble? And last year we were just like, well, some guys are making progress here. And so this is cool.
No, I agree. And they'll be home next week against, I think it's Colorado, Cincinnati, and Seattle.
It is.
Did I guess
two
that
off
right?
Days.
And off days as well, which I'm sure you won't mind. You won't mind a couple of those. Not that you won't be writing and providing great content as usual, but we'll get Jeff Sanders back out there to give you a break for at least one of those games.
That's cool.
It's always good to have you in town.
It will be nice to be there. And I just look. This has been a long trip, and it's just sort of it's something. They're 8-5. I was actually surprised. Were you, Jay? That this is tied for their second best start in 20 years. I mean, the reason I'm surprised is this. Who cares? It's 13 games in, but you would have thought it'd be more times at least in the last two decades that they could have won 8 of 13 to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, especially since, there were some good, if you go back two decades, those teams from 04 to 07, those were all good teams. You would think something would have, and 2010 also. So, yeah, but whatever, 8-5, does it mean anything? Not a whole lot, but I guess it's better than 5-8 or 3-10 or some of the records that we've seen in the past. So, as we've said many times, it's more interesting to watch, and I look forward to squeezing in some baseball around the Masters this weekend.
You know what 8-5 gets you, my last thought is? You know, the Padres had some good runs. Remember the six series? I think it was six, maybe it was five series in a row that they won. You know, hey, that's cool, right? But they were so far out of it before that that it really didn't matter, right?
Right.
This gives, you know, if you can get up and have a winning April and you're five games up, well, then you can lose a few series in a row. So you aren't buried, and you remember what you did at the start of the season, and as players, you believe that's who we really are. And so that's what a good start gets you. It's the, you know, you can't win the division in April, but you can lose it, and we know what the Padres have done in April.
Yeah, and this is the kind of team and franchise that needed a good start. So that's been good for them and for their psyche and for their fans as well.
Right on. All right, we'll talk before the Colorado series and try to remember everything that we talked about on this one, because we just basically set this up as the biggest April series in since either one of us have been alive. So,
and forever. We'll just call it that. We'll just call it forever. Have a good weekend, Kevin.
Thank you. You too.